Nehemiah chapter 6, we read in that verse 15. We're going to look at verses 15 to 19 of that chapter. But verse 15, we read these words. We finally arrived at them. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. As you have studied this book, you have journeyed quite some way with Nehemiah. We first picked him up in Persia, many, many miles from Jerusalem, in Shushan the palace, as cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. However, as he was in the palace, he heard the report from Hanani and his brethren that the walls were broken down and that the gates were burned with fire. And as he thought about his brethren, thought about their plight, thought about their captivity, he was moved to do something about it. Setting his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. In chapter 2, we then observe Nehemiah safely and providentially be conveyed to Jerusalem. Whenever he arrived, there were no bright lights. There were no welcome home banners. Only the sneers and jeers of the enemy and a building site in absolute ruins. After surveying the walls, the gates and the buildings, Nehemiah the cupbearer became Nehemiah the foreman. He gathered together from those near and far, and eventually he began to repair the walls and gates of Jerusalem. However, no sooner had he lifted up his trowel and his plumb line and began to start the work than there were those sadly who rose up and sought to stop the work. He was confronted by Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem from different lands, all seeking to stop him in the work of God. Nehemiah fought battles without, but he also fought battles within. You remember what we considered in chapter 5, how the nobles, how they were greedy, and how they took advantage of their fellow countrymen. But despite the difficulties and the hindrances, Nehemiah, he still continued, he still persevered in the rebuilding work that God had given him to do. Although there were times, I'm sure, when Nehemiah felt like giving up, maybe he felt like packing it in. Maybe he felt, what's the point? It's too difficult. That there are too many battles to face. Yet now he has now finally arrived at the point of verse 15 of chapter 6. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. You see, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the heartaches, in spite of the hardships that Nehemiah faced, the work was completed. The building project, it was now finally completed. And whilst the work of Jesus will be curtailed, it will eventually be completed. God is still doing his work. And eventually, he will finish his work according to his will. Maybe this morning, you're trying and you're seeking to do a work for God. Maybe like Nehemiah, you face trials, you face difficulties. Maybe you've been seeking to witness to someone personally. Maybe you've been seeking to ply on in a little service for the Lord. And you've been hit with hindrance after hindrance. Well, be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged that God has a purpose. And his purpose is that he will not leave anything undone. God, he never leaves anything unfinished. And yes, there will be difficulties. Yes, there will be trials. But there is nothing that can ultimately thwart the purposes of God. Oh, this morning, be encouraged. Be encouraged that yes, you will face those opposition, that opposition. But if the Lord wants you to complete the work, then you'll complete it. If the Lord wants you to finish that task, then you will finish that task. Paul wrote to a young pastor as he was coming towards the end of his life. This young minister was discouraged. He had grown tired in the battle. And yet Paul, he wrote to young Timothy and he said in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, coming towards the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And the phrase here, course, or the word course, it literally in the Greek reads a race. And Paul here, he likened his life to a race. And he stated, yes, just as the runner faces those hurdles, faces those obstacles in the race. Yet his life, as it was likened to a race, he still was now finishing the race of life. You see, whilst we often give up, the Lord never gives up. And whilst we often leave work unfinished, the Lord never leaves work unfinished. Oh, we've finally arrived at these lovely words of chapter 6 and verse 15. The wall was completed. The wall was completed. Oh, this morning, be encouraged. Be encouraged that what the Lord has started, he will also finish. And so this morning, I wish to consider very simply the completion of the walls. The completion of the walls. I want you to notice firstly here the demonstration of the completion. The demonstration of the completion. The walls were now finished. Nehemiah takes time as a historian as well as a foreman, and he logs in these verses that the walls were now completed. And he also states that they were a tremendous demonstration to those who were looking on at the walls, to those who were looking around at these lovely walls of Jerusalem. I believe they were a demonstration of a couple of things. I want you to notice here, thinking about the demonstration, notice it's time. It's time. Verse 15, we read, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, and mark this, in 52 days. Nehemiah here records that the walls were actually completed in 52 days. That's less than 2 months. That was quite some feat. These 52 days, they would have observed days off to observe the Sabbath day. They also would have taken into account the hindrances that Nehemiah faced. You remember in chapter 5 when the work actually stopped, Nehemiah realized the workers were overworked and he told them to take some time off. And so here we find that basically in miraculous record time, the walls, they were completed. The walls were also said here in this verse 15 to be completed in the month Elul. Now that was 9 months after Nehemiah had first heard about the state of the walls in chapter 1. Historians also estimate that the walls, if they were to be straightened out, they would be 4 miles in length. Remember also, Nehemiah didn't just build walls. He repaired gates. There were also other buildings that he furnished, that he completed. And so we find that in working together in rebuilding Jerusalem, the children of Judah, they did a tremendous amount of work in such a short period of time. And rather than working slowly, the Lord wants us to work speedily. You are to work hastily for Jesus Christ. Stop back and just think about it for a moment. These walls were 4 miles in length, and they were completed in 52 days. 52 days. You think of how diligent, how speedy, how quick these workers must have been. And so the Lord would have us, he would have you, he would have me to work with that same haste. He wants us to work diligently, speedily, hastily, doing all that you can for Jesus Christ. Sometimes in the service of God, there can be that slowing down. There can be that slacking off. But the Lord, he desires that we would work with speed for him. Oh, child of God, this morning, do you work for the Lord with such a spring in your step? Do you work with such speed, such haste? Do you say to yourself, there's so much to do and so little time to do it? Have you that speed, that haste, that sense that I must work and give my all for Jesus Christ? David, he had this perspective of the king's business. And in 1 Samuel 21, just here, as Saul was king, he said there in 1 Samuel 21, verse 8, he said to Ahimelech, and there is not here under thine hand spear or sword, for I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business requireth haste. David here, as they were going forth to war, he came to Ahimelech And he said, Ahimelech, I didn't even have time to bring my sword or my spear. Why? Because the king's business, it requires haste. And rather than working with stones in our shoes, the Lord would have us to work with springs in our steps. To work with haste for Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, have you that spiritual spring in your step? Oh yes, sometimes the body might hamper you, but I wonder within your spirit, have you that speedy desire to get about the service of Jesus Christ? When you think of the work that needs to be done, the souls that are perishing, the lives that are dying. Oh my friend, the king's business, it requires much haste. And have you that spring in your step this morning? Are you working for Jesus Christ with speed? Do you say, even like David, the king's business, it requires haste? During the reign of Henry VIII, postmasters were used in main towns for carrying messages to little hamlets and villages. However, these postmasters, they were sadly known for their dilly-dallying and wasting times playing games or even stopping at pubs along the road. So to stop this, Henry VIII, he put in a law that every carrier should literally ride for his life. And if he was ever caught dilly-dallying, then he would be brought back to the palace and he would be hanged. Sometimes as he would be delivering letters, on the letter there would be a little stick man suspended from gallows with the message underneath, haste post, haste for thy life. And the Lord would say the same to us this morning. Haste. Haste, for lives depend upon your message. And I wonder, do we have that haste? Do we have that haste as if the lives of others depend upon it? Oh, my friend, the Lord, he would have you to work speedily, to work hastily for him. The walls, they were completed in 52 days. 52 days. It's time. But notice also here, it's testimony. Thinking about the demonstration of the completion. Notice here verse 16, the tremendous testimony that these walls now had before the heathen. We read there, when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Whenever the Jews had seen the walls completed, you can imagine the tremendous joy that they had as the last brick was taken and as it was placed into the wall and then as the ribbons were cut. Oh, my friend, what joy there would have been as they saw the walls finally completed. And this also was a tremendous testimony to those around. We read here of the enemies and the heathen being cast down. The enemies and the heathen here, they were those who were non-Jews. Those who were either from Samaria or Ammonites. Those who were from nations constantly at war with Israel. They were those who didn't worship the Lord the way the Jews did. There were those who followed other gods. And so here these unbelieving, the heathen, these unbelievers, whenever they saw this wonderful wall, oh, they were discouraged. They were discouraged as they saw the children of God coming together and working together in record time. And they had to stand back. And as they looked at these speedy Jews, they said the work was wrought of God. It was of God. And these unbelievers, they had to confess that these Jews, they couldn't have done it themselves. They couldn't have erected a 4-mile-long wall in 52 days. It had to be the Lord. It had to be the Lord that done this work. You see, speedy work is studied work. Whenever you're working diligently for Christ, others will stand up and take notice. Whenever they see you working with such diligence like the children of Judah here, when the heathen around you see you laboring swiftly, see you laboring wholeheartedly, fully, diligently, giving all you have to the work of God, then they'll stand back and they'll say there's something different about that person. It must be God that's working in their lives. And isn't it a tremendous thing whenever the Lord is working in you and through you, that you can be a tremendous testimony to the heathen around. Ruth, she enjoyed the privilege of being a testimony of grace. In Ruth chapter 2, we read in verse 19, as she's coming home from a hard day's work in the fields in Bethlehem, verse 19 tells us, as she comes now to her mother-in-law, Naomi, that her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." Ruth had been in the barley fields all day in Bethlehem. She had worked morning, noon, right way through to dusk. And now as she comes home, as she makes her journey up the hill to her mother-in-law's house, she's carrying, verse 17 tells us, a bag or a sack or an ephah of barley. In other words, she was carrying between 25 and 30 pounds of beaten grain. And as she now steps in the door of her mother-in-law's house, and she sets this big sack down on the table, Naomi realized here that Ruth has experienced grace. She couldn't have done this all herself. Someone has been favorable to her. Someone has taken knowledge of her. Someone has been gracious and merciful to her. You see, when God is working in you, then God will work in others. Whenever you're working for him, reflecting him and his work in you, then that will speak to those around you. They will have to say, like the heathen here, "This is a work of God. God is working in that man. God is working in that young person. God is working in that lady. This work, this life, this service, it's something they can't do by themselves. And so it must be solely of God." And so I wonder this morning, I wonder if you're that testimony that others look around you, or look at you, and they see the grace of God. They see the grace of God in your life. Oh, I wonder, do they see it this morning? As they see you living for Christ, as they see you laboring for Christ, do they see that testimony in you? The demonstration of the completion. But notice secondly here, not only the demonstration, but also the disloyalty within the completion. Whilst many Jews were rejoicing in the work that God had wrought, sadly all were not happy that the walls were now completed. There were a few who, even after the completion of the walls, were disloyal to Nehemiah. Now, who were these people who were disloyal to Nehemiah? Well, we read there of their identification in verse 17 and 18. We read there of their identification. We read in those verses, "In those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them, for there were many in Judah," verse 18, "that sworn unto him." Undoubtedly, these Jews were rejoicing in all the Lord had done for them. As they took a moment, as they stepped back, as they looked at the walls now completely surrounding Jerusalem, they were rejoicing in all the Lord had done for them. But you know, as this celebration was going on, all were not there. We will read also of those that the nobles here of Judah, all behind Nehemiah's back, they were sending letters unto Tobiah. They were, as it were, becoming friends with Tobiah. Remember, who was Tobiah? Well, Tobiah, he had been an opponent of Nehemiah ever since the day he arrived in Jerusalem. And now we find the last brick is being laid upon the wall. And there were nobles in Jerusalem, those who had that leadership position in Jerusalem, and they were writing letters to Tobiah. Now, who were these nobles who were writing letters to the enemy? Well, you remember in chapter 3, as there was all of those, that list, that catalogue of workers, we read sadly in chapter 3 that the nobles put not their necks to the work. Then in chapter 5, the nobles, they surfaced again. They were the ones who were jacking up interest rates and making daily life far too difficult for the Jews. And now here in chapter 6, We find them writing letters to Tobiah and gathering up a crowd of followers of Tobiah. So these nobles, what was their identification? Well, in chapter 3, they were lazy. Chapter 5, they were greedy. And now in chapter 6, they were sneaky. They were conspiring against their own people and the work that God had wrought in Jerusalem. You see, when the work is continuing, whilst there will be those that will serve, there will also be those that will scheme. There will be those who will fraternize with the opponents of the work. And I say to you this morning, as the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church here in this city, as we continue to see the walls strengthened and fortified, I wonder, are you part of the work? I wonder, are you really committed? Or I wonder, perhaps, are you like the nobles who didn't put their necks to the work, who didn't put their all into the work, and even drifting towards the side of the enemy? You know, during the latter years of King David's reign, sadly, he watched his own son Absalom, turn against him. He gathered up a little following, and he led many, many Jews astray, and he sought to make himself king. And you know, in amongst all that, David had an advisor. His name was Ahithophel. He was a little bit like Nehemiah was to Artaxerxes. He was an advisor. He gave him counsel. He gave him advice. But now, as Absalom was rising up against David, sadly, David, he found out in 2 Samuel 15, verse 31, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And David sadly watched his own advisor turn against him and conspire with the enemy. And in the work, whilst there will be those who will be diligent, there will also be those who are devious. There will be those who will be disloyal to Jesus Christ and his service. I say to you this morning that if there be those who are trying to, as it were, make you wobble, make you think, try to stop you from getting off the walls here in this city, try to stop you in the work of God, don't listen to them. Ensure that you yourself, you're like these Jews here, that you bear that good testimony, that you keep your feet, as it were, your head fixed upon the prize, and that you work diligently for Jesus Christ. You know, during World War II, the Nazis were very, very clever in their scheming. At one stage, as they sought to get a foothold on the United Kingdom, they occupied the Channel Islands, and they especially took over the little island of Jersey between 1940 and 1945. And you know, as they went into Jersey, the people of Jersey, they ended up, many of them, collaborating with the Nazis. It was said in Jersey that you fell into one of the following camps. You were either an informer, a black marketeer, those who were too friendly with the enemy, those who worked with the Germans, or else you were a normal civilian, or those who antagonized the Germans. And I say to you again this morning, be very, very wary. Be wary of those who, whilst the work is going on, those who just, as it were, seek to creep in, and those who seek to stop or to hinder the work of God. Their identification. But I want you also to notice here, those who were disloyal, those who were rising up, even as the work was being completed, notice also their information. Verses 18 and 19, we read, for there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah. Verse 19, also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobias sent letters to put me in fear. These nobles, in writing letters to Tobiah, they weren't alone in, as it were, going against Nehemiah and the work of God. Others had joined their scheme. Verse 18, we read, many in Judah sworn unto him. They were exchanging letters. But now these nobles, They were also going a step further. They were rising up against Nehemiah. They were gathering a little cluster of followers from within the Jews, and they were pledging allegiance, swearing to the enemy. Now, in regards to their information, I want you to notice here, I want you to see what exactly was happening. Verse 19, we read, "They reported his good deeds before me." And they were essentially saying, "Look, we've got to know Tobiah. He's not really that bad a fellow at all. He has done many a good thing. He has performed many a good deed. He's a lovely man. He's a very, very pleasant man." And yet Nehemiah, all the way, he knew what Tobiah was like. Tobiah had been a constant thorn in his side. And now we find the Jews here, they were, as it were, being swayed by Tobiah, and they called him a pleasant man. They informed Nehemiah about Tobiah, but they also informed Tobiah about Nehemiah. Verse 19 again, we read, "They uttered my words to him." In other words, they were not only telling Nehemiah about him, but they were telling him about Nehemiah. They were telling Tobiah of all Nehemiah's plans. Of course, they were putting their own little spin on it. Undoubtedly, they twisted his words a little. They spoke ill of Nehemiah, spoke ill of the work that he was doing. And rather than serve the Lord, they sought allegiance to Tobiah and sought to discredit the work of God. And when you're disloyal to the Lord, you will then sadly begin to discredit the Lord. When you begin to rub shoulders and join forces with the enemy, that is a slippery slope, and eventually you'll become one of them. I say to you this morning, ensure that you pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ. Ensure that you pledge allegiance to his cause, that you pledge allegiance to his work. That you pledge allegiance to that work that would honour Jesus Christ and uplift Christ as the saviour of sinners. Because sadly, if you don't, often what happens is you begin to be friendly with the enemy and then fraternise with the enemy, and then you end up downgrading, disparaging, discrediting the work that Christ is doing. You then begin to look at the work with a critical spirit, always looking for the negatives and never seeing the positives. Indeed, Paul, he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said in Ephesians 4, verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put from you with all malice." The word clamour here, it comes from a root verb in the original, which means to croak like a raven. And Paul here, he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he basically said, look, put your croaking away. As you see, fraternization will then lead to denigration. When you join hands with the enemy, you will then join up with the enemy, and eventually you will join in with the enemy. You'll begin to slander and slur his work with the enemy. Oh, what a sad state of affairs it was. Nehemiah had just placed the last brick in the wall, and everyone should have been celebrating. They should have been rejoicing. But there were those who were taken by Tobiah and began to pledge allegiance to him. Let's just pause for a moment and let's just survey the development of things from chapter 1 until this point in chapter 6. Chapter 1, we saw Nehemiah as a broken man. Chapter 2, we then saw Nehemiah, his brokenness had been translated itself to burden. Then in chapter 3 to 5, we saw him building and battling. But now what a wonderful, as it were, mountaintop experience he's arrived at. Now in chapter 6, we find him blessed. Now the work on the wall, the building of the walls, it's been completed. Yes, he had gone through difficulties to get there, but the Lord was blessing him. It began with brokenness, and it ended with blessing. May God bless his word to each of your souls this morning.